Good evening, folks. Pastor gave us permission to pray this evening as deacons. We just are finishing out a pretty adventurous year, and we thank the Lord for it. And we are looking forward to a wonderful 2016. But what I'd like to do is to pray as a congregation. Really, and if you would, just join us as deacons. Del Hawkins is a new deacon this year. He will be joining us in prayer. But what I would like to do is have the deacons come on up, if you would, and stand with me. We will all just ask God's blessing on the year ahead. Thank the Lord for the year behind. You know, we can do an awful lot of things on our own. Well, pastor of mine said, when we work, but when we pray, God works. There's a combination there. We appreciate God allowing us to serve here, but without his grace and help, nothing good will be accomplished. So if you would join us, would you bow your heads, please, as we pray? Dear precious Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for sitting sovereignly upon your throne. Lord, you are high and lifted up. Lord, the train of your robe fills the temple. And Lord, you are surrounded by your majesty and Heavenly Father. You are glorious. Thank you, Father, that you are holy, holy, holy. Lord, you extend your grace to us by letting us serve with you, co-laborers. And so, Father, we thank you for this year behind, and we ask your blessing upon this year ahead. Heavenly Father, please lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for Pastor Josh. Thank you, Lord, for Andrea and the children. Please, Father, place a hedge of protection about them and bless them. And you know, Heavenly Father, the ministry that you have ahead of us. Lord, give us a vision for where you'd have us to go. And I thank you for these men behind me and around me. Thank you, Father, for every member here, every visitor. Please bless us as we continue to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you with humble hearts. We give you thanks, Lord, for all that you do for us. We give you thanks for your Son going to the cross for me. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for all that we have, for it comes through you. This house that you've given us to come and worship you, the friendships we have here, the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have here. Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do for us, that we may never forget it. Mm-hmm. We ask you to bless this evening, bless this service, bless this holiday, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious heavenly name. Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I say amen to all that's been spoken here. Lord, I just pray that you would just, Lord, put a veil of holiness upon our heart, Lord, and open us up, Lord, to your teaching, to your spirit, Lord. Help us to be holy because you are holy as a church and as individuals, Lord. Father, we are expecting you to do great things at First Baptist Church here in this upcoming year, Father. Lord, an old standby verse of mine, Heavenly Father, you've created the heavens and the earth with your great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for you. Amen. And so, Father, we're asking you, Lord, to just open up this church and multiply it. Lord, build us up spiritually that we can be better ministers for you. And I ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Our Lord and Savior, we thank you for this evening. We can come again into your house, and we thank you for this year that has passed. We pray for forgiveness where we have failed thee, but we praise you where we listen to you and we were shown new heights. We pray for this Christmas season that is coming. We pray that we will be ever mindful of what that season is all about. Let us not be caught up in materialism. Let us not be caught up in the hubbub of shopping. Let us be caught up in the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We look forward to the new year that is coming. We pray that not only as deacons we will seek your will in all that we do, but as a congregation, we will step up and become a better server of you. We become more in contact with you. We will pray and ask for your help. We will forget self and remember that you are in charge. So we just ask these things in your name, and we trust and know that you will answer our prayers. Amen.
Father, we continue in your presence. Mercy drops have been falling around us, and we're praying tonight for these showers of blessing in the coming days and through the next year. We just pray that you would bless your word as it goes forth. Just bless the congregation with that word. We pray, Father, that you would be with each one of us, that we would be taking every step we can to be loving and kind and willing to serve you. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, as we continue, we just give you the praise and thanks for this past year, what you have accomplished and privileged us to be even a small part of it. Father, we do we pray for your guidance in the year to come. We'll need it so much. And how you provided for us, your faithfulness to us, we're so thankful. And we do look forward to this coming year, that you would be glorified. We're thankful for your word and how Pastor Josh studies it and presents it to us and how it is so powerful. So, Father, we just again ask this coming year that we'd be attentive to what you have to teach us in your word, follow it, to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Lord, I thank you for each individual of this church, Father. You know each one of us very specifically and uniquely. You have created us all differently, Lord. You've given each of us a special gift, all to be used differently in this church, Father. Some of us are faithfully using those gifts, and you've shown them to us. Some people here have, maybe they don't think they have gifts, Father. Reveal that to them. Mm-hmm. Everybody here is valuable. It's very valuable to our church and to the church body as a whole. So strengthen us in those gifts, Father. Reveal those gifts to others. Let us all work in unity, faithfully to you in this coming year. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Lord, we thank you so much for everything you've done. One of my favorite sayings I tell myself all the time is, I'm a great sinner, but I have a great Savior. And I just ask that throughout this next year, everything that goes on in this church with all the individuals and in this state and this country and this world, let us just remember that the only answer is your Son. Mm-hmm. And Lord, just help us to stay focused on you as individuals and lead others to you and share your love with them and just help us to be blessings to everyone in the church, to the people we work with, to the people we meet on the street, even if we have a 5-second conversation, Lord, just help us to shine your love on them and just let people know that there is much hope in you. Mm-hmm. And I just pray for Pastor Josh throughout this upcoming year, Lord, help him to study your word, help him to preach boldly, mm-hmm. and to not be afraid, and just to preach Christ in everything, Lord. In your Son's name, amen. Amen.
It's my turn now. Appreciate that, the deacons doing that for us. We fully intended to do that during the deacons' meeting, and we ended up doing so much business that we didn't have time for it. And so I wanted to make sure the deacons had the opportunity to go each individual pray for our church as they wanted to do. And so we can definitely take some time from our service to pray. And I think that's a very good thing. I set my Bible up here. I am a little bit casual. This morning we did the baptism. I just ran and put on a pair of jeans, and I didn't ever change all afternoon. And there's a work project I have to do afterwards, so I don't preach very often in jeans, but tonight that's what you're getting. Anybody ever have somebody hand you directions written on a piece of paper? Maybe you have to be about over 30. Because nowadays, they just say, what's your addy? One of my friends, he texts me, he says, what's your addy? I'm like, what's an addy? He said, your address. I'm like, oh, okay. So now they just text you the address, and you type it in on your GPS, and it takes you right to the place. But, you know, years ago, we used to have to write out directions. Now, did you ever have somebody that they wrote out directions, and you're like, looking at it, like, which way is which, and you're just really confused? Well, there was this film, it's probably about 30 years old. This guy gave directions to a mover, and the movers couldn't read it, and they're driving, and they're just totally lost, and they pull up to this guy's house, this older man, he's peeling potatoes, and they say, hey, Mac, which way to this town we're looking for? And the old guy says, well, how'd you know my name was Mac? And the mover said, well, I just guessed. And he says, well, why don't you guess your way to the town? And I don't know, I'm goofy. I always thought that was just hilarious. But that's one of the things that we sometimes sort of, if we're not careful, we can start guessing our way through life. Just sort of guessing. Well, maybe I should... 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you have a Bible. If you don't, there's some in the pews. I think all of you know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We don't have to guess our way through life is what we're actually going to see in these verses. We don't have to guess our way through life. Has anyone here ever heard how Jesus could read minds? No one. Okay, we need to change our lesson for tonight. No one's heard how Jesus can read minds? Come on, raise your hand. Have you ever heard how Jesus can read minds? All right, a few of you. Yeah, Jesus can read minds. When people would ask him questions, sometimes to trick him, he would actually answer it sometimes before they even asked it, because he knew what their thoughts were, and he would answer the question perfectly. Jesus also knew, for instance, that Peter, we've been studying about Peter, he knew that Peter was going to betray him. He knew that all the rest of the disciples were going to abandon him. He knew everything that was going on, and I think what we're going to read tonight in the scriptures is we're going to see that we are never going to have access to all that knowledge, but we can have some of that access to what the Lord knows. And because we can have some of that access to what the Lord knows, we don't have to guess our way through life. We can rely on the mind of Christ. In fact, we're going to see that 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. You see, if you're a Christian, a born-again believer, you've decided you had a problem, that you have a sin problem. So you've asked Christ to be your forgiver. You've asked him to be the leader of your life. And if you've done that, you are born again. You are a Christian. And if that's true about you, you have someone immediately that comes and lives inside of you. Who's that? The Spirit. You know, Jesus Christ, the Spirit, is living inside of you. And you know what? If you're willing to submit yourself to the Spirit's leadership, I think you can have that direction. God will give you direction. We were talking this morning about submitting yourselves to Jesus Christ. I think we're going to kind of get to the basics of that a little bit tonight. The Holy Spirit can actually give us the mind of Christ. so we don't have to guess. We don't have to sort of wander around through life sort of feeling like a blind person. And we can know what we should and shouldn't do. So hopefully you found 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 10. I have it here in my notes, but I like to read it from the actual Bible. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This passage, I really think, shows us, reveals to us the steps the Holy Spirit takes to keep us from guessing our way through life. And you can write these down. I don't have a note sheet or a PowerPoint tonight. But number one, the Holy Spirit comes into us, and then he knows our minds and hearts. Verse 12 says that the Holy Spirit of God that we've received from God, he is not of this world. The Spirit, okay? He indwells us. Now, this is some finer theological points. That moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit actually indwells us. He comes inside of us and lives in us. It happens like boom. In fact, some people tell me their story of salvation, and they're like, you know what? I decided on a Saturday night that Sunday I was going to go forward and get saved. And I said, you were saved Saturday night. And you go, well, I never really thought of it that way. I said, yeah, I believe the Holy Spirit came into you Saturday night. You were saved then. Okay, that happens, that moment of salvation, and he indwells in us. And it wasn't always this way. Another finer point of theology. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't indwell everyone. This is a New Testament thing. In the Old Testament, you had to be sort of in line or set up to do something amazing. And then sometimes God would send that individual, the Holy Spirit, for a while, and they would do this specific task that the Lord had laid out, and then the Holy Spirit would be taken away. I just heard that up here. Saul, King Saul. Well, the Holy Spirit was taken away from him because he decided to consult the witch of Endor. But even King David, he saw what happened to Saul when the Spirit was taken from him. And when David messed up, right, what does he pray? Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Psalm 51, I think, somewhere around there. This isn't even in my notes, Dave. You got me sidetracked, okay? You see, in the Old Testament, you only got the Holy Spirit when you had some special job to do. But finally, in the New Testament, there was a day, the day of Pentecost is what we call it, that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. And now, we automatically get the Holy Spirit. It's just an incredible thing. Has anyone here ever thanked God for the gift of the Holy Spirit? You know, we thank God for Jesus dying on the cross, coming back to life. We thank God for all these things. Maybe tonight in your prayer, if you've never done that, thank God for the Holy Spirit that he's given us. You know, he's part of that Trinity that helps us so we don't guess our way through life. You know, sometimes we read the Bible, and I think there's a passage in John 14. Now, some of the theologians, they interpret it a little bit differently, but it talks about the Holy Spirit actually helps us understand the meaning of the Word of God. So that's an incredible gift. So not only would we potentially without the Holy Spirit be guessing our way through life. We might be guessing our way through the scriptures as to their meaning. So the Holy Spirit has just done this incredible work, and it talks about the Spirit of God, not the spirit of this world. What's the spirit of this world? We're interacting tonight. Anybody want to take a guess? What's the spirit of this world? Satan? Is that it? We all agree? Satan? I think pretty much we all understand what the spirit of this world is. If you flip on the TV, we see the spirit of this world. We see commercials that are flooding the airwaves trying to convince us that we have to have this, we need this, there's this materialism. We see the spirit of this world and the friends we hang out with that are trying to maybe pull us away from God, those influences. We see the spirit of this world on the news trying to tell us what to think. But as Christians, we have the spirit of God in us. So who do we listen to? Is it the spirit of this world or the spirit of God? Now, the spirit of this world is telling us to do that, but the spirit of this world is telling us to do something totally different. So we have this battle here. Now, I look around here. We're all, generally speaking, mature Christians. Now, I see Waylon sitting there. He's pretty young, but most of us are mature Christians. And maybe we're like, yeah, we're past that battle. Do we ever really get past that battle? Spirit of this world sort of always tugging at us, pulling us. And then the Holy Spirit is like, hey, you know, I'm here. You don't have to guess your way through life. Everybody in the world is guessing. You can be confident. Now, another thing that the Spirit does while he's inside of us, he's obviously reading our thoughts and our minds just like Jesus is, and he sees and he sort of understands us, and he actually reports back to God. If the persons of the Trinity actually have to report back to God. But the Spirit works on us to make sure we're thinking the right way if we're submitting to him, if we're sensitive to his leading. So the Holy Spirit's inside of us, and he takes the next step that the Spirit takes to keep us from guessing through this world is he helps us understand what God has given us. Look at verse 10. God has given us the scriptures, and I already sort of hinted at this, sort of strayed from my notes already. Verse 10 says, the word of God searches all the things, yes, the deep things of God. This is what the Holy Spirit helps us understand, those deep thoughts. Now, at the beginning I asked, you know, you ever recall how Jesus read minds? Can any of you read minds? Have you ever heard anyone that claimed that they could read a mind? Sometimes Andrea reads my mind. You know, sometimes our wives do that, right? I don't know if you can actually read minds, but you can look at people's facial expressions, you can look at their body language, and you can kind of get an idea of what they're thinking. But can we really know the deep thoughts of another person? No, we can't. Sometimes we can barely even understand the deep thoughts of another person, even when they explain them to us. But the Holy Spirit, he comes along and says, you know, I can help you understand the deep thoughts of God. All those things that God is thinking. The Holy Spirit can help us understand those things. We don't have to guess what the Bible means. Have you ever ran across a non-Christian? They're reading the Bible and they say, oh yeah, the Bible's fascinating, and they tell you this big explanation, and you're like, what? You're way off. You're not even close. And then you try to come alongside them. Wasn't there a man in the Bible, the Ethiopian eunuch? He's reading out of scriptures, and Philip comes alongside him and says, hey, what are you reading? Well, you know, I'm reading this, but I need somebody to help explain it to me, because they don't have the Holy Spirit inside of them to help them understand those deep thoughts. You know, perhaps think back before you were a born-again believer, you maybe had some questions about God and Jesus and the Bible and maybe even the creation of the world. And suddenly, when you're saved, born again, the Holy Spirit's inside of you, all those puzzling things sort of like, wow, I get it now. I get it now. And that's what happens. The deep things of God become clear because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us, helps us understand the word. There's a third step, and it's the last step in these verses here, that the Holy Spirit takes to help keep us from guessing. Look at verses, actually, it's verses 1 through 5 is here. I think it's worth reading. It says, "Brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, but I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Verse 1 there, Paul says, I wasn't eloquent. I wasn't really a smart guy. In fact, at first, when he started going around preaching to churches, I think all he did at first was tell people his testimony. I think that's what verse is trying to tell us, right? All I told you was how I got saved, my testimony. The testimony of how God saved me. You know, that's one of the simplest ways of sharing our faith. Tell people, hey, this is what God did to me. Verse 3, you know, I was weak. One translation says, I was so weak that I was shaking. And this is Paul, right? The boldest guy in Scripture that probably led more people to the Lord than anybody else we can think of. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, when I first started telling people about Jesus Christ, I was so scared I was shaking. Ever been that way? Maybe you have the Holy Spirit sort of prompting you. You're in the grocery store line, and there's a big line, and there's somebody over there, and you can just tell there's this look on their face that they're hurting, and you feel the Holy Spirit kind of saying, hey, say something to them. And all of a sudden, you're like, you know, you don't want to do that, okay? It's scary. I felt that way. You know, I remember one time I was working with a guy. It was when I was at college at a dry cleaners, and he brought up something about abortion and how he thought it was okay because it was part of the mother, and I'm like, wait, you know, I can't let this just go. And I started shaking. I was scared. And I knew I had to say something, and I waited a little bit, and finally I said, you know, here's why I don't think that baby's part of the mother. And we went on and talked about this as a person, a separate person with rights. And even the Constitution says all people, right, have rights, except the unborn, apparently. And we ended up having this discussion, and it was scary. And any time you stand up for the truth of the Word of God, any time you tell somebody about Jesus Christ, how they can be saved, it's scary. Paul even said, hey, I was scared. But you know what? In the end, the message is not from us. It's not our opinion. It's from God. And since it's from God, it contains God's power. So we need to realize we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and he's going to back us up even when we're scared. And you know what? You may not have this message with all these arguments and these great persuasive words, right? Verse 4. Like this big clever thing that this you've memorized. Hey, my message isn't clever and persuasive. You know what it is? It's a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Mm-hmm. Right there, verse 4. Our faith doesn't rest upon our clever thoughts. Our faith rests upon the wisdom and power of God. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. Isn't that neat? I see a few of you nodding. Yeah, I think that's really neat. When we tell somebody about Jesus Christ, the message we're sharing contains God's power. And even if it's some feeble, weak attempt at witnessing, the Holy Spirit will be in it. It's going to help us. So we don't have to guess our way through life, no matter what it is. Decision making, witnessing, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit's going to be there. And we don't have to guess because he's in our hearts and he's there watching our thoughts. He helps us understand God's thoughts, and then he helps us when we feel weak. We read through what? How far did we read? Through 16. So we're not even done yet. Let me take one drink here. We're almost done. Sadly, I think this passage describes a couple different people. Number one, the spiritual man. There's this description of the spiritual man. I think we're down in verse 14. Verse 13, verse 14. The spiritual person. That person is saved. Can we agree on that? The Holy Spirit's inside of them. There's a third component. The spiritual man, I believe, allows the Holy Spirit to guide him or her. You can't just say, yeah, I'm a spiritual man because I'm saved and the Holy Spirit's inside me. You have to be submitted to the Holy Spirit's leadership, according to these verses. There's another person that is described here. Verse 14 says, people without the Spirit are called what? The natural man. Now, the natural man, what does the verse say? Does not accept the things of God. In fact, the things of God sound ridiculous to him. The natural man doesn't really understand anything about God. Okay? Now, you can read a lot of theological books about this, okay? There's different opinions here, but these natural men, they're not Christians who are in trouble. They're not Christians who are backslidden. These people don't have the Holy Spirit, okay? So it's our job to tell them about Jesus, help them out of that position. I think there's a third type of person that's described, but we have to go to chapter 3, verse 1. Right? We're still in context. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as babes in Christ. So I think there's three different types of people that are described here. The spiritual man, they're saved, they have the Spirit inside of them, and they are submitted to the Spirit's leadership. The second one is the natural man. They're not saved. They don't have the Spirit. There's the third type here. Chapter 3, verse 1. Carnal people. Maybe your translation says worldly people. Now, I think these are Christians. They have the Holy Spirit inside of them, but they're missing that third component of spirituality. They're not submitted to the Holy Spirit's leadership. Perhaps they don't read the Bible very often. They don't let the Spirit guide them. They may have critical spirit, whatever it is. Paul said that he, when he went to a church that had individuals like this, he had to treat them like infants and only give them a little bit of the Word of God so that they could digest it. But in this context, these verses that we're looking at, I think we are sort of confronted with this thought. Are we a worldly Christian? Are we carnal or are we spiritual? Are we letting the Holy Spirit guide us? Are we still trying to guess our way through life? Yeah, I think that was in the invitation this morning. You know? That film that I was referencing earlier, part of the reason they guessed their way, you know, and they couldn't read the map is as they were driving down the road, there was these teenagers, and they walk out on the road, and they cut down the sign, one of the road signs. And about a minute later, they drive by, and they blow right past their turn because the roadside is gone. And you know, all these different things. And they end up going up to this bridge, and the bridge caves in. And these movers just had a bad time. You know, we have a map. It's the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us sort of guiding us. And it, you know what? I can't say this word perfect very often, but when we're talking about the Scriptures, when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we can say it's perfect. It's exactly what God wanted for us. So we have perfect directions. We have a tour guide that rides along with us, the Holy Spirit. And sure, there's not, you know, our GPS is constantly talking, right turn, 500 feet ahead. We don't have the Holy Spirit audibly talking, right? But there's direction there. I think we can feel that sometimes. Now, I think non-Christians, the natural man, and I think even carnal Christians, the worldly Christians, I think they're in that same boat, just guessing their way through life. So my challenge for all of us tonight, and I know you've heard messages like this before, and I know I'm not giving you anything new and exciting necessarily, but I challenge you to not guess your way through life. Submit to the Holy Spirit's leadership. Be that spiritual person. Now, I also challenge you to tell others what Jesus has done in your life. Not just the natural men, right? Come alongside those carnal Christians. Say, you know what? You could have such a better way by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you. Remember at the beginning I said that we could know at least part of the things Jesus knows? You know, we didn't just pull that out of the air. Verse 16, we can have the mind of Christ. That means I think if we're submitted to the Holy Spirit and we're reading this book, I think that means that we can look at life through God's point of view. And we can think the way God thinks instead of thinking the way the world thinks. So I challenge you, that's sort of, and I don't want to be crass here or disrespectful, but that's a selling point of Christianity. We can do so much better. You know, you can do so much better, my friend. You need Jesus, and once you submit to him and his leadership and ask him for forgiveness, you can do so much better in this life. So that's a great way to share the gospel with folks. So not only do I challenge us all to think God's thoughts and do things God's way instead of guessing our way through life, but do that, give that challenge to others. Let's pray. Father God, we are, I like these set of scriptures here we read tonight, and thank you that you included them in your word and sort of just laid it all out there for us, and how so often you address our fears, you address our excuses and concerns, and you sort of just say, hey, those aren't valid. We're thankful even for the testimony of Paul, who thought he had a good set of excuses, but because of the power of your Holy Spirit inside of him, he overcame that as he submitted to your leadership. And Lord, we know we can overcome just incredible things if we can choose and to be that spiritual person that you want us to be for your glory. Lord, we're just glad for this entire day that you've given to us. From what we studied this morning to what we studied tonight, from what the deacons prayed. Lord, we're just thankful that we can get together and worship, have Christ-focused worship and gospel-centered unity. In Jesus' name, amen.